Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. 34 after. Thank you very much. For staying with me today, if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.jbsba.com. If you have a question or a comment, here's the email address, askjim@jbsba.com. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest, Dr. William Dunkelberg, who is a professor of economics at Temple University in Philadelphia, that over there in the Pennsylvania area. He's also chief economist for the National Federation of Independent Business and our good friend. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
It's doing good. It's good to have you back, as always.
Thank you.
As I mentioned earlier, folks, once a month, Bill joins us to talk to us about a report that he produces off of a survey that he conducts with hundreds, if not thousands, of small business owners across the country, asking them questions about their business. How are they doing? How is the marketplace? How is hiring? How is firing? How's life? That's right. Yeah. How's your mama and things
right.
like that. Things like that. But and he reports back to one of the things he gets to do. It's like a dream come true for him is to report back to us, right, Bill?
Sure enough, and here we are.
Yeah, there you go. How are things going for small business owners in general, Bill?
According to the 1,274 we talked to in the month of April, things are going really well. The optimism index that we assemble each month rose almost 3 points to 105.4, which would be the highest reading that we've seen since 1983, which confirms our view that 2004 will indeed be the best economy we've seen in 20 years.
Wow. Well, one of the things I read that you wrote, one of the documents I get from you, you call the economy hot.
It is indeed hot. There's no question about that. Wow. I mean, if you just look at some of the fourth quarter numbers, and of course now we've got first quarter numbers, it's really going. Consumer spending is really solid. Investment spending, that is buying new equipment, new trucks, expanding your building, all those kinds of things, growing at double-digit rates. And of course, government spending is a bit stronger than many of us would like to see, but it's there. And exports are increasing very smartly, although so are imports. So the trade deficit did hit a new record again, but nonetheless, farmers are having a great time selling stuff. Manufacturers are having a good time now. Things are finally back, and it's really looking good.
The weak dollar is helping the manufacturers, isn't it?
Definitely, and agriculture as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, and of course, the usual weather variants around the world have created problems here and there, and it's been good for our agricultural people. They're really, really enjoying it. For the first time in a long time, we see very intense price hikes coming from the agricultural sector, so they're doing well.
Yeah, I talked to a cotton farmer, just bumped into one the other day, and he said he had just had a great crop and a good year in his business.
Yeah,
which, as you know, it's been a long time since we've heard people like that say things like that.
That's right. And, of course, we're really happy to see that, thus non-ag people, because higher agricultural prices, food prices, mean that the subsidies we'll pay them will be less.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, that helps
be good.
Absolutely. Okay, what are some of the leading things that we're seeing out there as far as the economy? The exchange rate's good for exporters, interest rate's good for everybody, taxes are down by the government, which is helping to fuel this economy, isn't it?
That's right. The tax cuts were pretty big. I noticed the Tax Freedom Day was 21 days earlier than worst time back in 2000. Now, part of that's because we're borrowing a lot of the money. That is one way not to pay taxes is to borrow it all, and that's not good for the long haul. But certainly the tax cuts were important here, put a lot of cash back into the hands of American businesses, and you know what small businesses do with that. They are out there spending on new equipment, and they're hiring more people, and that's what we wanted to see.
You know, we got blindsided by this Tax Freedom Day because we typically have reported that in the first around the first week or so of May. And we kind of had that tracking, you know, to report that. Next thing I know, it was already gone. I did not know that Tax Freedom Day popped up 21 days early. I was blown away. I couldn't believe it. And remind us what Tax Freedom Day means.
Well, Tax Freedom Day is the day that the average worker in the U.S. stops working for the various governments that it has to serve and can keep the money for him or herself. Mm-hmm. And that's
up
that
to that
kind of a record high back in 2000, and that was 21 days earlier this year.
Absolutely, and that's good news. We need to keep it that way. In fact, we need to move it back into February or January or something like that.
Stand by, Bill.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Dr. William Dunkelberg after these messages. More to come, 20 till, I should say. Stay with us. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Bisingame, the Small Business Advocate, formerly the Dean of the School of Business and Management at Temple University, now Professor of Economics, having given them the university there his blood, sweat, and tears for a lot of years. Now he's decided to kind of take it easy administratively and be Professor of Economics at the School of Business. He's also former director of the Center for Advancement and Study of Entrepreneurship. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest and our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, and a regular monthly visitor with us to bring us some good information. Bill, you talked about the trade deficit earlier. Mr. Greenspan recently said he was more worried about the economic deficit of the country than he was the trade deficit.
Well, you know, I think I agree with him. The trade deficit, of course, in part comes from the fact that we're running a huge budget deficit. In kind of very simple terms, we have total spending in this country is larger than total output. With all those people trying to buy stuff, if there were no other countries to trade with, we would have a big inflation because of the huge amount of spending there is relative to what we're producing. But with all these other countries, instead what we get is a huge trade deficit because they're willing to take all those extra dollars we have and give us cars and wine and flat-screen TVs. Mm-hmm. And so in an open economy where you can trade and you have a currency that people accept, when you have too much spending, you get a trade deficit instead of inflation. And, of course, that's what we've had. And it's a record high level, and it's related to this record high trade or budget deficit. And, of course, we have two views on how to cure it. It will get cured because it can't go on forever. One is that the government quit spending, and that's one political philosophy. They should slow down. And the other is that government's okay, but people should be taxed more, and they should slow down their spending. Mm-hmm. And we're going to argue that out in November and see where we come out.
Well, and the other thing is, a lot of people complain about outsourcing. But one of the things outsourcing does is it causes products to be made in other parts of the world less expensively, and when they come back to the United States less expensively, that helps to hold down inflation.
That's
what you were just saying. So the people who are against outsourcing, and maybe some people might think this is a little perverse for me to say it this way, but some people who don't like outsourcing, if we didn't have that, we might have runaway inflation right now.
That's right. We would have. And think of it this way. We import $1.6 trillion worth of stuff. Forget about, 500 call center jobs and that kind of silly argument. $1.6 trillion we spend hiring labor in other countries to make stuff for us. That's imports.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, obviously we can make anything that's made in the world here, but we only make the things here that we're good at, and we let other people make the things they're good at, and that's why we trade. It's specialized in trade. And that's what we're doing, and everybody benefits from that.
Bill, did you ask your respondents about oil prices, about fuel prices?
We didn't, and nobody's complaining about it. The number one problem is still the cost and availability of insurance. We know that amongst our trucking people, our transportation people, of course, the high gas and oil prices are a problem. If you adjust for inflation, these aren't record high prices at all. The high prices occurred quite a while ago, back in the late 1970s. We'd have to be up around $60 a barrel instead of $40 a barrel if we were thinking about setting a record for oil prices in real terms. That is, how many hours you have to work to get a barrel of oil, so to speak.
Right. Well, and but the thing is I'm gonna make an observation here, and you tell me if you think I'm right. One of the reasons you're not hearing about it is because even though it's cutting into their margins, into their profits, I should say, the increased oil prices that maybe they hadn't budgeted for, we've had such an up and down relationship with petroleum over the last several years. I wonder if a lot of people are saying, well, you know, in a couple of 3 months, OPEC will put out more oil, and we'll have and the prices will go back down, and we'll all be okay. I think that's a mistake to think that.
Yeah. I think you're right this time. If you look around the world and ask yourself, who's got excess capacity still? You look at the OPEC output. Virtually everybody in OPEC is doing just about everything they can except Saudi Arabia. They're the only ones that have any kind of excess capacity, a couple hundred million barrels a day. And if you look at the rest of the world, you know, there's potential in the future for more, like if the Siberian pipeline gets built and so on. But right now, we really do have a supply constraint relative to demand. Demand is hugely strong, and there's not many people that can add to the supply right now, and so prices will stay high.
And the more the East continues to develop and become a consumer economy, the more China and India and Indonesia and places like that, and maybe even the Middle East, if we're able to develop it over the next 10 years or so, so, like Iraq, for example, the more that becomes more like a consumer economy, the worse it's going to get. And so, Bill, my prediction is that you may not like $2 a gallon of gasoline, but you might as well get used to it.
You might as well get used to it, and of course, if you want to give people the incentive to drive more fuel-efficient cars and so on, then the best way to do that is to have, you know, not $2 gasoline, but $4 gasoline or something like that, and that'll do it.
Yeah, you're right about that. Not saying that you're proposing that. You're just obviously stating the truth. What about pricing power? We suffered for years, Bill, for at least 3 years, small business owners had no pricing power. We're starting to change. That's turning around a little bit, isn't it?
Certainly is. If you go back to January of last year, we had more firms reporting that they were cutting their selling prices than raising their selling prices. So the net percent of our firms raising prices was minus 2%. Since then, we have swung 24 points. We now have the net percent of firms, net meaning we subtracted the percent who cut prices. The net percent raising prices is at 22. We have not seen numbers that strong since the late 1980s when we had a little spurt of inflation there.
Yeah.
Now, well, profits, of course, are responding exceptionally well. They, you know, obviously this is helping us out finally. We had the same percentage of firms raising prices as raised worker compensation for the first time since the 1980s.
It's been a long time. It's good news, too. It's good news for the U.S. coffers, too. We're paying more taxes. Tintail, stay with us. We'll be right back with Bill Dunkelberg. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Dr. William Dunkelberg, Chief Economist for the National Federation of Independent Business. And, folks, that's NFIB.com is the website there at the NFIB. Check it out when you get a chance and when someone comes by to talk to you about becoming part of that organization, becoming a member of the NFIB. I encourage you to give them a moment of your time. Bill, and by the way, looks like I'm going to be in Washington with the NFIB in June. You going to come down and do the show with me there?
I think I put those dates in my calendar, and I was open, so we'll finally get to do one together live.
I'd love to. Yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it face to face. That'll be fun. I'm looking forward to that. Okay, Bill. Just a little report on the Fed. You're an expert in this area, and you know Mr. Greenspan. You know most of the principals in the Fed. Recently, they didn't raise rates, but they sort of telegraphed that they might. If they do what I predicted, they'll raise rates in June. What's that going to do for us?
Well, you know, it depends again on the view of things. And certainly, I think we all agree that a higher rate at the short end really is not going to be harmful to the real expansion that's going on in the economy, and it'll get rid of some of the frothiness in the financial markets where when the Fed's keeping the short term rate at one and you can count on it, while you can borrow lots of money at low rates and then of course just lend it out at higher rates and the yield curve, knowing that you're safe because the Fed keeps saying we're not going to raise rates, but. You know, we'll get rid of that, but the higher interest rates will probably not be harmful at all. The danger is that, you know, that people sense the Fed is behind the curve on inflation, and that, of course, would drive the long rates up quickly, and that would be more damaging.
So if they raise rates in June, will they go up a quarter or a half?
Well, I think the Greenspan made it pretty clear he likes quarter points.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of quarter points between 1 and 4, which
That's
is where
right.
we're headed.
That's exactly right. So, I agree with
you. Remember, we started this whole thing at 6.5,
before
we cut all the way down to 1.
Believe me, I borrow money. I know where we started. Bill, what are some other indicators that you got out of your small business owners this month?
Well, if we look at the gain in the index, the big part of that, about 40% of that increase, was accounted for by an increase in the percentage of owners who say the economy will be better 6 months from now. And so that gained 12 points in the April survey, up to 34% of all the owners, net of the pessimists again. So that's a very, very positive number. Then, to my delight, another 35% of the gain was accounted for by positive shifts in earnings trends, that is, higher
right.
earnings reports. That was very good. I was happy about that. And
20%
of it by people who said it's a good time to expand.
Let me stop you for a second on the profit thing. You said to me off the air, we were having a little visit there, and you said that with all the other stuff, all the bad news, interest rates going up and inflation and everything, that profits were going to trump everything this year.
That's right. You know, we're seeing record growth in profits. You know, we're going to see numbers in the 20 to 30% range. It's terrific. Productivity is very good. That reduces unit labor costs. That's very good. And, of course, profit prices are going up, so people are getting more revenue for the same things that they're producing. And right now, if you look at the economy as a whole, boy, the profit numbers and the cash flow numbers are at record levels in dollars and, of course, as a percentage of the economy. And both of those, that's very good news.
In the last 3 years, companies large and small who survived found out how really many people, how much building and facilities, how much equipment, how many trucks. They really found out how much it truly takes to operate their business, and they now because they found out those levels, they're operating much more efficiently than they were 4 years ago. And with the new technology, the new productivity, that's where the profit's coming in.
That's
from,
it. You know, they bought a lot of technology in that crazy late 1990s. They didn't have time to put it in place and learn how to use it. They've had a couple of years to learn how to use it, and they've done that, and it's looking good.
Well, absolutely. And you know what? The thing is, Bill, is small business owners have been able to come to that party in the last 3 years more than in my opinion, in any other time in history.
Yeah, it sure is looking good. You know, it's hard to measure sometimes, but in the national accounts, it's very clear that entrepreneurial income is very, very strong right now,
right.
And that's very good.
Do you think the tax cuts, especially the direct expensing that is set to expire at the end of this year, do you think that'll be extended?
It's hard to say whether it'll be extended or not. Probably not. Because the economy will be, the economy will be running too strongly, and so it'll be hard to get the votes, you know, to do that in the face of this record deficit. So,
right.
Probably won't, and it really won't matter that much. Even with tax breaks, small business owners are smart. They don't buy a truck just because they get a tax break. They buy a truck if they need it. Tax break is nice, but you know, you don't buy it unless you really need to use it. So,
right.
I don't think it's going to matter that much.
Bill Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen, Chief Economist for the National Federation of Independent Business. Bill, thank you very much. Hope to see you face-to-face next month.
Always a pleasure, and I look forward to it.
Thanks. Bill Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back real soon. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.